Hey, listeners, we're in the heat of one of the greatest sports events of the year. You guessed it, March Madness. And the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage? CBS Sports HQ. What is CBS Sports HQ? It is the free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It is always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Sipa, and welcome to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Avenue's Minor League Podcast. I'm joined here with Lucas and Ken. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
So, my voice is dead. I was at a show, wrestling show last night, but that is going to bring us to our first segment, Promote, Extend, Trade, where we pick a guy to promote, pick a guy to extend, and pick a guy to trade. Very self-explanatory. So, it is WrestleMania weekend. And I'm sure everybody knows it's here in New York, the Meadowlands technically, but the WWE says that it's in the shadow of New York because New Jersey sucks. Sorry, Ken.
No, New Jersey does suck. As someone born in New Jersey, you are correct.
I disagree wholeheartedly, but we can move on.
So, you know, even though it's WrestleMania is like the main attraction of the week, a bunch of indie shows have been going on since Thursday. And there's just been a lot of wrestling stuff in general. And I know you guys aren't really big wrestling fans, so I'm not going to be able to pick some lesser-known indie or Japanese or Mexican wrestlers here. Oh, so I'm going to go with three names that span three different generations that I think, I would hope, everybody knows. So who are we going to extend, who are we going to promote, and who are we going to trade between Macho Man Randy Savage, The Rock, and John Cena?
I've never seen the last one, so.
I don't think I've ever seen any of them wrestle.
I've never seen any of them. I'm just making the general John Cena joke where he's invisible or whatever it is. Also, thank you for adapting to your co-host as opposed to Jeff, who probably would have gone like 30 minutes about obscure Japanese wrestlers while Ken and I sat here like, Yes. Promote, maybe extend. All right, so like I have known nothing about Macho Man Randy Savage. The Rock is a bad actor as far as I know, and John Cena is that guy from the memes.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep.
That's all I got. So I will extend John Cena for the memes, promote The Rock because he's a wholesome human being, and then trade Macho Man Randy Savage, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I have literally nothing to add here.
Jeez. I thought I picked like the most easy basic guys here.
You did. Yeah, no. Don't watch wrestling.
All right. Well, here's the proper answer then. They're going to trade The Rock because he's done too many steroids, and that's going to be a problem. We are going to promote John Cena because batters will not be able to see him.
Do, 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 do.
And we're going to extend Macho Man because Macho Man is an actual baseball player before he became a wrestler.
What?
Mm-hmm. Go to Baseball Reference and look up Randy Poffo. That is Macho Man's actual name. Nope.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's far better than whatever random reasoning I was going to come up with.
He hit 254, 346, 391 in 289 games in rookie ball and IA.
With okay.
Yeah, and that the Cardinals organization.
Huh.
Good job, Macho Man.
Yeah.
I have to admit, like, the weirdly large overlap of baseball and wrestling fandom is one of the strangest phenomena to me. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. I think it's also, I think part of it, specifically with the Mets anyway, is that as Mets fans, we are conditioned to suffering and all of that.
Uh-huh.
And probably nowhere other than the Mets is there as much complaining and bitching and moaning as there is, you know, with wrestling fans. So it seems kind of natural, yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I completely get why people like wrestling, though. It seems like a very well put together show. Most of the time I hear you guys talking about it.
I'm trying to remember the last time there was a... So for context, our Slack channel usually turns into 3 hours worth of wrestling discussion whenever one of these shows is going. And I can't remember the last time there wasn't a show that was just universally panned in the Slack. It's never good.
Well, that is our wrestling content for the week. And now we'll get to some baseball. And we will, let's go over how the teams did. So the Syracuse Mets, they went 2-1 against the Pawtucket Red Sox. And they are currently in a 3-way tie with the Bisons and the Iron Pigs for first place in the International League Northern Division. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies also went 2-1. They played the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. And they are in second place in the Eastern League Eastern Division behind the Fightin' Phils, who are perfect 3-0. St. Lucie Mets are 0-3. They suck. They lost all three games they played against the Bradenton Marauders, and they're in dead last in the Florida State League South. And the Columbia Fireflies are 1-2. They won one game and lost two against the Charleston River Dogs, and they are in a 5-way tie for second place in the South Atlantic League Southern Division. So the most important thing to keep in mind here right now is that standings don't actually matter, and they're not going to matter for another 2-3 weeks. But guys have started separating themselves from the pack. For as much as you can separate yourself from the pack in a 3-game sample size. Mm. And we will be right back with the hitter and pitcher of the week after this.
Get your brackets ready. March Madness is here, and the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage, CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is a free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered by cutting through the noise of hot takes and fake debates to get smart analysis and helpful highlights for your fantasy teams and beyond. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It's always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
Hey everybody, it's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Seipel. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Levin. This is from Complex to Queens, and here we are with the first two players of the week for the 2019 season. Our hitter of the week is Hayden Senger, who in three games went 4-for-10 with 2 doubles, 2 RBIs, and he also struck out 3 times. So Senger is from Ohio. He went to Miami University after graduating, and he hit a cumulative 272, 359, 409 in his 3 years there. Nothing great, but nothing exactly terrible. He's a catcher, and he's known more for his defense. So middling offense, you know, middling offensive numbers are fine, whatever. He shows basically good ability to make contact. He puts the ball in play a lot, and he doesn't strike out too much. And he doesn't have much of a power swing, and he's probably never going to develop much power. So the offense is really going to always be more table setter, you know, if you will, than anything else. But I'd take that from a 24th round pick. And again, he's more of a defensive catcher than an offensive one. Behind the plate, he has above average pop times and an above average arm. and that makes him tough on potential base stealers. He threw out 42% of the runners that tried to run on him at Miami University. And then last year at Kingsport in Brooklyn, he threw out 35% of the runners that tried to run on him. So you guys have any thoughts on Hayden Senger?
Not a ton.
Yeah, I definitely had a who is that moment when you shared this name? Look, catchers are weird.
Yeah.
Organizational depth is important. It's probably all he is, right? And
yeah,
I'd say one of like Nick Meyer, him, or Juan Uriarte. Hint: it's probably Juan Uriarte are going to be pretty good. So. Just in terms of like random variation.
And generally I'm in favor of defensively minded catchers, so hopefully hopefully the offense is real enough for him to stick around long enough that he gets a chance to help a lot of pitchers in the minors with above average defense along the way.
And I mean Josh Tolley made the major leagues with a pretty empty bat. So it's conceivable that Senger is able to do the same.
I think you mean R.A. Dickey's personal catcher, Josh Tolley.
Right, well.
Put some respect on his name.
I'm scooting over to Fangraphs to see how many big league games he played.
Too many, given his skill set.
478.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a career.
It feels like the majority of, like, the 29 season, the 2009, 2010, and then kind of from there going down a little bit, but.
I mean, this is the thing with catchers. It's just weird. You never know, right? So
a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone wants to go out there and basically get the hell beaten out of them. So if you show halfway proficiency with anything, you got a job.
Yep. So unfortunately, I don't think that 571 BABIP for Senger is particularly sustainable.
Well, probably not. All right, now our pitcher of the week is another well-known name, and that is Chris Mazza. And he pitched 6 innings this week. He allowed 5 hits. He gave up 2 runs. He walked 2, and he struck out 6. So Mazza is a 29-year-old veteran that was originally drafted by the Twins in the 27th round of the 2011 draft. And he's been plugging away for years, but he still hasn't made the majors. Don't really know how good his odds are in this organization, but he was originally a shortstop and he actually set Menlo Oaks College. That's where he played. He actually set their record for most home runs and triples, but he pitched every so often like college shortstops do. And the Twins were intrigued by his arm and they drafted him and drafted him as a pitcher. And he actually looked good in his first year as a full-time pitcher. But in 2013, he hurt himself and had to have ulnar nerve transposition surgery, which Desmond Lindsay had, I think, a few years ago. And he was shut down for the rest of that season. And he came back in 2014, and he pretty much had the best season of his career. He posted a 2.79 ERA over 25 relief appearances. And ironically, I don't really know how this is even possible, but he did that with a broken wrist. He broke his wrist over the last couple of months.
How?
And I don't know. And it was his pitch, you know, his right hand. So
how? What?
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. But unfortunately, during that offseason, that wrist injury kind of got acerbated and it turned into a scaphoid non-union fracture, which means that the injury didn't heal properly and he had to have surgery to fuse the bones back together. So even though he was able to somehow pitch through that, it kind of did more harm than it would have if he was sent to the disabled list. But he returned in mid-2015, and the Twins basically released him a few games after he got back. And the Marlins picked him up about a week later, and they transitioned him from being a reliever to a starter, and he fulfilled his part. He did become a solid, yet, you know, unspectacular starter. But he was never terrible. And the Marlins released him in 2018. And then he pitched in the Indies for a little bit. And then the Mariners signed him at the end of the year. And then the Mets picked him up off of waivers in December, and here we are. And part of the reason why Maz's career really hasn't gone anywhere is because, you know, he has a solid arsenal, but there's really nothing plus or even really above average in there. His main pitch is a sinker ball, but he doesn't really get, like, the big-time ground ball rates that you want to see a sinker ball pitcher post. And then he complements that with cutter. It's not really a strikeout pitch, but, you know, kind of plays off the sinker and makes the hitters off balance and stuff. And then the same thing with his secondary pitches, which is a changeup and a slider. They're not really strikeout pitches as much as they just kind of play off the sinker and keep the hitters off balance. So that's Chris Mazza, and interesting story, but, you know, I just really don't see much of a future for him, either in this organization and in just in baseball in general.
I mean, I want to circle back on that wrist thing. Just Googling it. So basically the innermost bone right at the edge of like the end of your radius and your fingers. So he had that broken and it wasn't peeling together and he was still pitching with that. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
In an interview, he said that he has a high tolerance for pain.
No kidding.
Clearly.
Jeez. I'm going to go ahead and say that they probably shouldn't be doing things like that.
Yes. It's very Metsian. Kind of appropriate that he wound up with the Mets after that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure if he even knew that it was broken or not. But as a person that's never broken anything, I don't even know how that's possible that you wouldn't know that something is broken.
I mean, that like I said, very Metsian. They would send a guy out for like a month, not realize why he was struggling, and then discover, oh, wait, he had a broken bone in his wrist this whole time.
Yep.
Oops. Our bad, guys.
Getting hints of Matt Harvey pitching with half a shoulder.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Half of 2016.
I mean, good for him.
I digress.
Yeah, I mean, good for him sticking it out this long. I mean... and this is what I wrote about Drew Gagnon in like our season wrap up last year, who's kind of a similar story, right? Just kicking around for years and years, hoping for a chance.
Yep.
And like most of these guys don't ever make it. And there's like, I mean, I think that's one of the more romantic aspects about baseball are these guys that just grind forever. And then the few that actually make it. So more power to him. I hope he keeps a strong start going.
Yeah, I mean, he's 29 years old. He's getting up there. But, I mean, as someone with no skin in the game, obviously I wish him luck. Because who doesn't want to be a major leaguer?
And exactly. He is
on the, you know, he's on the doorstep. He's in Double-A right now, but he has played in Triple-A. So, good luck to him.
Also, the only picture I can find of him in a Mets uniform has stirrups, which is excellent. So I'm a new fan now. Major League Baseball needs more stirrups.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's one of my dudes now.
Well, he's gained two fans. Very nice. And on Twitter, he said when the Mets signed him, he said that he got like 100 followers overnight or something like that. So I guess now we could add two more.
Mets Twitter is a powerful thing.
Going to scoot over and give him a follow right now.
Is it Mazza or Mat? I was hoping it'd be pronounced Matza because that'd be like very memeable, but I guess it's spelled Mazza.
Yeah, it's Mazza, and I'm guessing it's pronounced Mazza.
Couple of the big name prospects not showing up the first couple of days for us.
Well, it is just 3 days into the season, and that brings us to, oh yeah, that guy, where we'll look back and look at some Mets minor league players from yesteryear that have had pretty solid 3-4 day spans in years past.
Thankfully, it will be baseball players this time and not obscure wrestlers that we've never heard of before.
If only. Well, who wants to go first?
I can go first. I've got mine open. So Darryl Siciliani had a pretty good first week of the season in 2014 for Binghamton. Went up He hit 360, 385, 560 from April 3rd to April 11th, first like week and a couple of days of the season. That was good for a 160 WRC plus in the Eastern League. So, yeah, Daryl Siciliani.
I remember that name coming up way too frequently in prospect reports of years past.
Yep. He played a little bit in 2015, if I recall correctly.
Oh, right. They traded him to the Blue Jays?
Yeah, and then he had the same shoulder injury that Conforto had, but things did not go as well for Mr. Siciliani as they did for Michael Conforto on the way back.
I feel like he had at least one signature moment with the Mets that was so foreshadowed.
I remember a big, big dong. One day in 2015, like three quarters of the way up the Coke corner then or the
Pepsi Porch.
I think it was Coke a couple of years in 2015. But
was it?
Okay. I don't know. I'm rambling. But he was kicking around for a while, got his shot in 2015, and hasn't really been heard from since.
Oh man, he really cranked that.
Yeah.
Nice. Not in a big moment, but that's a big home run.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He had a better, 10 games than Danny Munoz did, so.
It's a pretty low bar.
You, Daryl.
you want to go, Steve? I've already talked too much.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, this week in 2013, Rafael Montero had a pretty good stretch in Binghamton. He made two starts. He allowed 8 hits, gave up 2 runs. He didn't walk anybody, and he struck out 15 over those 2 starts. And that was kind of, I guess, the beginning of the ascendancy of Rafael Montero as a, top prospect. In 2014, he was in the Futures game against Syndergaard at Citi Field.
That was great.
And it was really all downhill from there, I think, unfortunately.
I mean, let me ask you this. He never walked anyone in the minors. Why did he struggle so much with walks in the majors?
I don't know. It's one of those unsolved questions. I think part of the issue is that his stuff was never really plus. He had like an above average fastball. It was like 92 to 95. And his slider was like, all right, a little bit above average. But that was really the extent of it. And, against major leaguers, the margin of error is just that much smaller. And then trying to be, so precise, so fine, you kind of run yourself into problems. And that's probably what happened to Montero.
I'd have to look this up more, but it seemed like he got crushed whenever he was in the zone and didn't have the stuff to get away living outside of the zone,
Yep, that sounds about right. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, my guy is also a former top prospect, former second baseman of the future, Rhys Havens.
R.I.P.
For those of you who may not remember, Rhys Havens was a first-round pick in 2008, along with Ike Davis. And this is even before I really remember. He was pretty hyped at the time as like a legit big-time prospect, but just could never stay healthy. Nevertheless, in 2009, to open the season, he had a week-long stretch with a 150 weighted. He batted 310, 364, 517. Over a 7-game stretch, and this was an advanced day, and I'm pretty sure that 2 weeks later he was hurt again. So it went for Rhys Havens.
Basically sums up his career.
And then he retired from the back issues are eventually what got him out of the game. Just brutal.
Yeah, it's not like his injuries were, there were Marnie ones too, but it's not like his injuries are kind of like little bullshit ones. Like, he had some pretty big major problems.
Sometimes guys just break. Sad.
Broke way too early, given his age. Like,
yep.
Well, that was a fun trip down memory lane.
We went from, hey, that was a fun random guy, to, man, top prospects don't work.
Well, hopefully this current crop of top prospects, the returns are a bit better. Well, any other stray observations, comments, anything on the first three games of the system of the season?
I've been pretty pleased with Mauricio so far. Not like anything, you know, particularly meaningful. Just, you know, being a young kid in a league where everybody's older than you and putting the bat on the ball consistently is nice to see.
Yep. And I saw a couple scouts on Twitter praising him, which is always encouraging as well. I have to, like, it's written into my contract, my non-existent contract at Mason Avenue, that I have to complain about Stephen Feline starting the season in AA. What is this? It's an absolute waste of time. Fix this, Mets, please.
I don't imagine that he'll be there for very long.
No.
I figured that the only reason why he's there is because he didn't spend, I think it was like 11 innings that he was there last year. So I figure maybe they think he needs to get more innings. I don't know. But
I think it's just like the other guys in the, you know, shuttle group are all in AAA right now. I think you'll end up getting you'll be one of the first guys called up once they start, you know, trying to shuttle guys up from AAA.
I mean, Peterson's definitely gone after today, so Handhold probably comes up, and then maybe they bring him up, but
yeah,
we'll see. That's Tim Peterson, not David Peterson, for clarification.
Should we just refer to him as a Leaderson from now on? To, like, keep from confusing our listeners.
But which one is truly a leader? The answer is neither.
That is a good point.
It's really neither.
Well, if anybody has any questions, comments, whatever, send us an email at podcast@amazingavenue.com. Just make sure to address it to our show in the heading. And you can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there if you want. I am at Steve Saipa. Lucas is at ElVlahos343. And Kenny is at Ken1191. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, rate and review them, and thank you everybody for listening. And you guys have any last words?
Let's go Mets. It's a good first week. Let's keep it going.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm right. Pleased so far.
Well, we will be back next week with a recap of the first full week of the 2019 minor league season.
Hello, it's me, Ashley Carmen.
And I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
And we are the hosts of The Verge's podcast, Why'd You Push That Button?
It's a show that asks the hard, weird, occasionally dumb questions about how your tiny tech decisions impact your social life.
So we're asking questions like, how do you choose your skin tone emoji? And why do you delete your tweets?
Every episode, we talk to both users and experts to get to the bottom of these questions that we're confronted with every day.
Check it out. Subscribe to Why'd You Push That Button on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else you love to get podcasts.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
bears and video games,
Pittsburgh Batman,
the hell of being trapped in a group text,
unreliable legal advice.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Like the time Arkansas decided to use a captured feral hog as a mascot, and it escaped and it wound up killing 7 rattlesnakes, a pig, and a coyote.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Unless it is.
Damn it.